Opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, the intro's sort of right. I'm here. Fred, I don't know where he's at. I don't know what's going on. John, you said he's at the doctor?
Yeah, he texted me saying that he's been at the doctor since 11, and they're running him through a bunch of tests, I guess.
What the hell is going on?
His last test, I think, came about 45 minutes ago.
Ooh. What kind of tests?
I don't know. Old man tests.
Oh, is Fred on the way out?
Pap smear.
He said everything was fine. We'll see.
If everything's fine, you're never at the doctor for 5 hours. That's one thing I've learned in all my years of going to the doctor. If you're at the doctor for 5 hours, you should be concerned about, hey, maybe everything's not fine?
You know when you go get an oil change? And then 3 hours later, your whole engine is taken apart. That's Fred right now.
You have
That's
to change it. Your air filter.
Yeah. That's what it is.
The shocks are bad.
Like you drop your car off to get the oil change, and then they call you, and they're like, hey, we were digging around, and we noticed that you need a new air filter for your cabin and the main air filter, and you probably need some new front brakes.
Transmission needs to be serviced.
Yeah, you need your fluids need to be – and you're like, man –
Fred's getting all of his
fluids. I was trying to get this $29 oil change.
Yeah.
And then your bill is like $900. And you're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, and you don't even have
insurance. What happened?
Yeah. And you don't even have Obamacare for that.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
Fred went in for a $30 oil change on his body, and now all his fluids have been replaced.
Man.
Boy.
Poor Fred.
I don't want to be that old.
No, God forbid. And for those of you who avoid this station before 4 o'clock, I mean,
you're such a jerk.
Kudos to you. But that other voice is Barry Laminack, who is a co-host of the Joel Blank Show from 1 to 4 on this station. He's Joel's sidekick.
God, I hate you so much.
Is that what you call it? Your sidekick?
I hate you. God.
What?
Oh,
why do you hate me?
You're the worst person.
Just kidding. It's The Usual Suspects.
God, you're the worst person.
Starring Joel Blank with Barry Laminack and Nick Sciarra.
On the side.
That's why I say with.
Yes. Yeah, we're side pieces.
You're like the
window dressing.
The bit players on Saturday Night Live. Like at the beginning of Saturday Night Live, they're like, and starring Chris Farley, David Spade. And then it's like, and featuring. Yeah. And it's like,
some of these people.
Amy Johnston. Samantha Brownstone.
I'm the boner to his Stevens and Pruitt.
Yeah,
that's, I am.
That's tough.
Yeah. It's I'm the sideshow Bob of the
You're
show.
You're kind of like that.
Yeah. To his Krusty.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Sort of like that. But hey, whatever.
One of these
works.
Days, one of these days, I'll make it in this biz.
One of these days, you're going to be all grown up. Well, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I really wanted to talk about this United thing with Fred because Fred is a longtime believer that United Airlines sucks. And I kind of wish that it would have been, like, how great would it have been if it would have been on a flight that we were taking and Fred got pulled off and got his ass beat and got drug off a plane? That would have really that would have been like the last straw for him, I feel like.
You think?
I think that would have put him over the line.
That would have done it.
Although now.
A solid ass whooping.
I mean, honestly. In the day of camera phones, and obviously this was caught on camera.
Yeah.
I'll take an ass beating from United. Y'all come beat my ass. Let me fly for free the rest of my life. I'm going to own part of your airline from now on, by the way.
AJ Airlines?
Yeah. That'd be nice. I could take that.
Just kill me. Just kill me. Kill me. Just kill me. Relax. Go home. Kill me. Just kill me.
See something?
Just kill me.
Just kill me.
Something's not right there.
Yes, yeah, so that was after he got bloody.
Is that, wait, is His that record. The guy on the plane or is that Fred at the doctor's office right now? Ouch. That's Fred.
How much?
That's,
how much? That's Fred. I need to dig. I need what? What's
that's
a prostate?
Fred at
just
the doctor's office right now. Play, Fred. What are you? What's wrong? Tell me one more time.
Just kill me. Just kill me.
Just kill me.
Just kill me.
What?
Kill me. Just kill me. Just kill me.
And you can hear the doctor in the background going, "Just relax. Just relax."
Man,
Fred, you're here to get your blood pressure.
Right, it's well, not a big
need,
deal.
You're gonna need a bypass and a complete
down.
Anal reconstruction.
Yeah. Just kill me.
Just kill me.
Just kill me.
Kill me.
Just kill me. Just kill me. Just kill me.
If you play that backwards, he actually talks about the devil. I don't know. That's
I
weird.
I think so. That might be the case, yeah. Or it's a Slayer song.
It is.
I don't know.
Kill me. Heal me.
So he's saying heal me.
Heal.
At first,
what?
That was played backwards.
What?
Yeah, he was saying heal me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a message.
Man. So thoughts and prayers to that. Actually, thoughts and prayers to United Airlines and their bank account, because that's going to be costly.
That is going to sting. And you know who's going to end up paying for that? You and your baggage fees.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like that damn wall. You think it's on them, and then then suddenly it's like, I thought they were going to pay for it.
It might have been cheaper to actually kill him.
Yeah, maybe
let
so.
Him live.
Maybe so. Then you're paying for a funeral.
That's it. Yeah, and maybe some college tuition or whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
You know.
I don't know if that guy had kids.
What? You don't think so?
He doesn't look like a guy who's had too much sex.
You mean the broken record guy? The one that's
no.
skipping? Isn't doesn't
I think, I think the best
me.
Is
kill me.
The way... When he was being drug away, he just like went totally limp.
That's
and it
what
was
I
like,
would do.
It was like he's already dead.
Like a 4-year-old
yeah.
when they're in trouble.
Well, yeah. apparently, when they forced him out of the seat, his head hit one of the armrests and knocked him out cold. That's some of the passengers on Twitter on that flight posted that they knocked him out.
Well, hard times. Hard times to be a United customer.
Now, who was it? Was it were those marshals on the planes that took him off?
I think they were just United employees.
Just the baggage guy.
Yeah,
I think some of them were. I think some of them were cops.
Oh, were they? Mm-hmm. Okay.
They called the police.
And it was like,
oh, there. Yeah,
they
he
wanted
did get knocked out.
They wanted guy. I mean, this was a paying customer, and they wanted him off to make room for standby crew. Right.
Yes, they're employees.
Let me just throw this out there, like. When you're on, let me explain this to you, United Airlines crew members. When you're on standby, we can't guarantee you a seat on the next flight. I'm sorry. And I don't be upset. Please just calm down. Calm down. And then everything they tell you how to act when you're on standby, they do the opposite when they're on standby and they don't get their way. It's like, what do you mean the flight's full? I'll just go on there and beat somebody's ass and take their flight. I mean, no big deal.
Knock them out on the armrest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this also Fred at the doctor?
This is Fred. Yes.
Come on.
This is Fred getting his blood pressure checked.
Yeah.
Fred, hold on.
Fred, we got to take your temperature.
I've got bad news, Fred. You're not going to be able to drink for the next 30 days. What?
Sir, all we have is this rectal thermometer.
Also, we're out of gloves. and fingernail clippers. And thermometers, for that matter.
Feels about really.
it's
about medium rare.
It's warm, like warm to hottish. I don't feel like you're dying, but
just kill me. Just kill me.
Oh, Freddy. Well,
oh god.
There's sometimes getting your head banged off the armrest isn't the worst thing that can happen
it
to
did,
you. Isn't that
did.
Right, Fred?
It did bounce, though. It did bounce his head.
That's true.
Yeah, it did bounce off of there.
And was he the only guy who got his ass whooped, or is he the only guy who got videoed getting his ass whooped?
I think he was.
Did they only need one seat?
They needed four. Yeah. They needed four. They took.
He went first.
I guess he was the first one. His
and
wife
then everybody
was,
else were like, I volunteer.
I'll go.
I don't need this in my life. Just, I'll get up.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went down.
I don't need a voucher. This is I'm doing this for America. And that's the thing. Like, normally, and what any reasonable airline would do is when there's crew on standby and it's full, you throw that number out for a voucher. It's like, we're going to give you a $300 voucher if you take a later flight. We'll guarantee you a seat on the next flight.
Yeah. Well, they did.
And then people are
they
like...
They slipped it in his pocket when they were
like,
dragging him off.
$300, nah, I'm good. And then after about 15 minutes, they're like, it looks like we're going to be able to give a $500 voucher. And then, you know, somebody's kind of like, oh, man, that's like a whole another free flight round trip.
Maybe. Now that the precedence is set, they'll be like, look, we won't murder you if you get off the flight. That's like where they're at now.
Yeah. Well, now, by the way, guys, the $500 voucher is no longer on the table. So now who wants their ass whipped? Which one of y'all trying to get these hands?
That's some of these United baggage hands.
That's unfortunately, you greedy bastards didn't want to take the $500 voucher, so we're going to have to resort to skull cracking. And rectal temperature taking. Sorry, United customer.
Nestor Carmona on Twitter said, I know it's probably not many points, but is it too late to add Fresh to my Deadpool?
It's too late. It's too late. And he doesn't have enough Twitter followers. It's that was like there was a cutoff where you had to be a certain amount of famous. And I don't think Fred met that famousness. All right, guys, I got to tell you about ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, you need to know where to post your job to find the best candidates. Posting your job in one place, it's just not enough anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You don't have to deal with calls or emails to your office. You can quickly screen the candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. One more time. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/play.
The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz, the Fred Fowler list. Fred Fowler-less Blitz.
Abby's mom said the guy was a doctor on that flight, and he was he couldn't miss his flight because of appointments. What kind of doctor, though? I mean, like, I'm sure all doctors are important, but if he's a podiatrist, then I think this was all much ado about nothing.
That's true.
You know,
maybe he had a dermatologist.
I mean. He couldn't miss a few mole checks,
right?
Like, I think it would have been all right. You know, if he's a surgeon,
I mean, it could be
heart
cancer.
Surgeon.
Technically, it could have been cancer.
Yeah, well, that's why I went podiatrist, because you're insensitive and I'm not. But
oh, like foot cancer isn't a thing?
Not through a podiatrist. No,
I don't know.
They send you to a specialist,
podiatrist.
All they do to a podiatrist, I think they just crack your toes. I don't know what else they would do there.
He's a doctor, but he's a chiropractor.
he's a toe practor. I don't know. He cracks your toes and lines up your ankle and then sends you away.
Or he's like, that's Dr. Miller. He is a cat vet. But
he has done the surgery before.
Right. And he's technically the other doctor put the cat under anesthesia, and then the surgery, like, he clipped the cat's nails and did a teeth cleaning. But that almost makes him like a cat dentist when you think about it. It's like a double doctorate.
Double doctorate. Oh, that's good stuff. A pimple popper MD. Yes, indeed, sir.
Well, we've got a fun show for you. There was plenty of sport going on this weekend. the Astros looked like all was going, like all the momentum from that first series was going to all be gone. And then they found the right relief pitcher who just couldn't throw a strike. And suddenly everything looks okay. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. And now they're back to the Mariners. So the Astros, while everyone was super excited three games in, it kind of would have been deflating to be 3-3 after that, which, again, it's baseball. It's a long-ass season. You're gonna go through winning streaks and losing streaks.
Yep.
I think the three games to start the season, maybe Astro fan got a little bit too high on those three games.
You think?
Like, they were pounding their chest. It was like
I don't know that they got too high. I think that because there was plenty, if you watch, there was plenty to not be excited about. I mean, the offense wasn't producing like people thought. I mean, in fact, on one of the broadcasts, they had, I think it was Jeff Blum that had a great point about the numbers for both the offense and the pitching are lower than what people expected. They were averaging scoring 2.5 runs a game, and that's what their starting pitching was giving up as well. So I think on the plus side, yeah, you could be excited about Keuchel and McCullers having a couple of good starts out of the gate, because maybe you weren't expecting that. But at the same time, no one was hitting. I mean, they were getting, you know, a bunch of solo shots and winning with three runs. So I wouldn't be excited from that. And the funny thing is, I went Friday after the Rockets game. I went over to Minute Maid and caught the last couple of innings of the Astros game. I was in the clubhouse afterwards just getting some audio. And some guy goes up to Altuve. And, of course, first question out of his mouth is about struggling and about a slump. And I don't know what Marwin Gonzalez said, but it was in Spanish and it was to Altuve, and it was tons of attitude behind it. And then Altuve just said, "Dude, it's six games. There's no slump.
It's nothing.
Next question.
It's
like
nothing.
Yeah, or five games or whatever it was.
And
at
even
the time.
if they would have lost that third game, okay, you started 3-3. Fortunately, there's still 156 to go.
Yeah.
And the reality is, I think that there may be some sort of mental block with the Kansas City Royals and the Houston Astros. Like,
yeah.
The Astros are sort of their bitch.
Yeah, kind of like the Rangers.
Yeah, sometimes that happens with teams. You do. And sometimes it's a team that's not better than you. I don't know that I think the Astros are probably better than the Royals. But there's something about that team that gives them trouble. And last year, it's hard to say the Rangers weren't better than the Astros because they beat them like a drum every time they played. But if they go even 500 against each other, the Astros are a better team.
Yeah.
So sometimes a team has your number, and it doesn't make the Astros any less or any more of a team. And Fred and I, what we kind of try to do is we try to take this season in like 20-25 game bursts.
Yeah.
Like, where are they 25 games in? Where are they 50 games in? It's a lot more reasonable. And with the NBA, where are you 10 games in? Where are you 20 games in? Instead of every series, especially this early.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll get old in a hurry.
I saw something where somebody said they're essentially through the first half of the first NFL game. If you look at the numbers for the season, the length of season, after seven games, this is the equivalent of the Texans playing one half.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not going to learn a lot after two quarters of football and seven games of baseball. But I will say this, with the win on Sunday with that walk-off walk by Gattis, The one thought that I did have where you can definitely say that they're much better off is one of those two guys in that situation would have been Jason Castro, which would have been an easy out. Let's be real.
Probably.
So you've got McCann up there that has a pretty decent at bat and or actually a really good at bat. And then Gattis follows that and draws a bases loaded walk. You weren't getting that out of your catcher position last year. So they're definitely improved there, which is one of the areas they needed to improve. And, you know, again, with Gattis being a bench player and a backup catcher, he led the team in home runs last year. So it's a good sign for the lineup. They have depth, and they'll hit. They're going
to
hit.
I don't think, even if they hadn't hit to this point, I wouldn't be worried about
it.
No. Honestly, I think to this point, though, they've pitched a little bit over their heads, and I would not expect for them to be a great pitching team all year.
Yeah, so, I think the Mortons of the world, that's probably true. But I don't think Dallas Keuchel was pitching over his head.
I don't know.
I mean, he won a Cy Young 2 years ago.
And last year he was damn near a bum.
Well, yeah. And
so
of injury, but I think
he's somewhere
in the middle.
I'd be happy if he was in the middle.
And that's where I think he is.
McCullers so far looked good. He got kind of let off the hook in a game. But so far, I think you've seen positive things out of him. That's never been my concern. That dude can throw.
I was going to say,
it's a matter of if his elbow falls off or not. And like Matt Harvey, yeah. I watch Matt Harvey pitch, and Matt Harvey is like, that dude's a stud when he's on the mound. And then I see the way his elbow torques every time he throws the ball, and I'm like, well,
yeah,
this will be fun for like 3 weeks, and then he's going to be gone for a while. That's I get that same vibe about McCullers. Like, it's great, and he looks so good, but I think that's a dude who's going to have injury issues throughout his career. I don't think it's coincidence that he's having elbow troubles at such a young age. I just think that that the way he throws is going to lead to that, and he is very valuable to that team because last year he was so valuable because he was in a rotation of guys who threw 88 miles an hour, and he's the one dude that was going up there and just throwing cheese.
Yeah.
And you need a guy like that. If everybody on your team is throwing 88, you're hittable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he gave them sort of a changeup.
Well, that's the weird thing about Morton is he hit 96 in his first outing.
Which is surprising. Again, I don't think that's going to last.
No. I mean, Devinsky hit 96 last night.
Devinsky has been a really...
That dude's a badass.
He's a special case. Yeah. And he's a really good weapon for them because he can go multiple innings and he's got strikeout stuff. I'd like to see him starting, but he's almost more effective in the role he's in, and it's a weird thing because that's a guy you'd love to see go out there and throw six innings every fifth day, but you also know that when you need a reliever to come in and throw four innings and he's striking seven dudes out in four innings, it's like, man, that's a nice thing to have.
It's a very valuable weapon when you consider that they've had two extra inning games or two games tied late that you needed him to come in and pitch multiple innings. He was able to do that. I mean, he gave you four innings twice and he threw 60 pitches yesterday. You know, there's not a lot of guys in the league that can do that and essentially shut a team down. He did give up a run, but it ended up not costing them the game. But he's the guy that, yeah, he has you know, a number two starter stuff. And he's coming out of the bullpen, and he can give you an inning or four innings either way. I'm with you. I would have liked to see him starting. But, like you said, the fact that he's middle relief, when Mike Fiers goes out there and torches the whole field and he's pulled after three innings, it's nice to know that Devinsky comes in. But it's too late a lot of times. That's why I would prefer to see him as the fifth starter.
And, Musgrove, who does have a little bit of upside, is – He looks like maybe he can be good. It's a guy who you probably wouldn't ideally have in the rotation just yet, but they don't really have an option because Colin McHugh's done, at least for the foreseeable future, and because they didn't do anything to really add to this rotation in the offseason. And as much as they did for their lineup, which was great, just a middle-of-the-rotation pitcher would change the makeup of this team so much. And they just
they think Morton's that guy. I mean, they really do. What they said is they saw a flaw in his mechanics that they can fix. He's a ground ball pitcher, and they think that they can fix that flaw. And that, I mean, he had a 4.3 ERA, which is respectable. It's not terrible. It's not great. It's a middle. It's a 3-4. It's a guy who's going to be 3 or 4 in your rotation. He's going to give you some solid outings.
No,
he's going to blow up a couple times
because a 4-something ERA in the National League is different. It just is.
Yeah.
I mean, so if a guy's in over his career in the National League, he's been a 4.50 ERA guy.
Yeah.
You assume it comes to an American League park. Even if you fix things, he's probably still
4.2.
If you're lucky.
If you fix things.
If you don't fix things, he could be a 4.8, 4.9 guy.
Well, yeah, but you got to fix it. And that's the thing. They think they can fix it. My thing with the McCullers, though, is, I've said this before the season started, and I'm going to stand by it. If that dude can stay healthy, I think by the end of the year, he's your ace. And he has the stuff, he has the pedigree, and he has the ability to do that. But like you said, injury is the big thing. But I really think that he could be your opening day starter next year as your ace if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Oh, I agree. I agree. He could be a number one, but again, I just don't think he's going to be healthy. I think that's he's got the Matt Harvey thing, like it's worse.
Injury bug.
Yeah, and elbows, that's no joke, man. And once they start, they don't get better. Which, by the way, Colin McHugh.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Dead arm.
It ain't going to keep getting better, guys, for these guys, which is unfortunate because Colin McHugh, who's a middle of the rotation guy for the Astros, probably should be a 4 or a 5. I don't know what you should expect, when you should expect to have him. He's not even going to throw a ball for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So a rotation that was light in the pants to begin with, yeah, especially beyond the top two guys, is it's going to be tested now, because you better hope there's no injuries. And I still don't understand why isn't Doug Fister on this team? Who, you know, Doug Fister's nothing special, but
he was one of their better pitchers last year. He carried them.
He was solid. And yeah, what's funny is he's still out there. Like, I don't.
Well, that tells you. I mean, if no one has picked him up, then that tells you there's something wrong with the guy.
I guess so. I don't know what. But
for a very long stretch,
you got
last
a lot
year,
out of Doug Fister last year. A lot more than you should have gotten.
Yeah. With Keuchel pitching as bad as he pitched, he was your best pitcher for a very long stretch last year.
And
so
that
is weird.
And I don't know how long you're going to look at Mike Fiers and go, ugh, oh, yeah, we'll deal with that. I mean, Mike Fiers is not much different than he was last year.
Yeah.
And let's not act like Mike Fiers was.
He threw a no-hitter, AJ.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down.
That's true.
He's an ace.
I stand corrected. And he does have a 1.50 ERA now, so that's good.
Oh.
Yeah. Very few earned runs for him. So that's always nice. All right. We'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Somewhere in South End when you were fun, you took my hand and you made me run.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. Do we have an update on Fred from the doctor's office, John?
He texted me last segment saying he's on the way.
He's on his way. Where's his doctor at? League City?
No, I don't think so. He said about 10, 15 minutes from here.
Okay.
I think he said 10 minutes from here.
Well, that's good. It's going to come to an end, Barry.
Why are you looking at me?
I feel bad for you, because it's like the last 30 minutes you've had people listening to your show.
I hate you. I hate you so much. I'll have you know, we do just fine on our own. We do just fine.
Well, good.
Of course, there's always the hate texts, but there's lots of love, too. There's lots of love.
There is. You guys don't like to. You guys get so salty about the texts.
I don't actually.
I don't even read the text line. You know.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Joel tends to drag me into that, and I try to make him. I'm like, no, you can't drag, because it doesn't bother me. I read my own hate text. I enjoy them. I think they're either funny or they can be constructive. It's never bothered me to get people that don't like me. That's going to happen in this business. Joel gets pretty salty though. He gets pretty upset.
Okay.
So it's like, whatever. I mean, I told him, just let it go. It's like on Twitter. You can't get in a war with people on Twitter.
What about,
you got to let that go.
What about Nick? How's he handle it?
He doesn't get a lot of hate.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't get a lot.
Because he's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
That's the key, man. The less you talk, the more people like you.
Yeah.
Jong, how often do you get hate tweets?
Not very.
Never. Because Jong never talks.
Well, if they knew him.
Fred and I get them all the time because we blab our heads off all the time.
Yeah.
So the more you talk, the more likely you are to say something that people aren't going to like.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's the key.
If they knew Jong, they would hate him.
Well, that's probably true. Those who know Jong hate Jong. That's a long-standing thing. I do believe in that.
Worst guy I've ever met in my life.
I've noticed that, too. He's a real jerk.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just kidding, John. I love you, John.
I hate you.
You hate me?
Next time I shake your hand, I'm not going to wash my hands.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
I'm not shaking your hand then.
Yeah,
so it's fist bumps from here on
next
out.
Next time you fist bump me, I'm going to wipe my ass with my knuckles beforehand.
Okay. All right. Oh, God.
By the way, let's give you a Charlie Polillo-like update on your Houston Astros.
Uh-oh.
Top of the second, 0-0 is the score in this game. The Astros at bat with one away in the top of the second. This is James Paxton on the mound for the Mariners. Has given up one hit, struck out one batter. Charlie Morton on the mound, one hit, struck out one batter as well. So very evenly matched game so far. The one hit, Carlos Correa, For the Mariners, the one hit went to Robinson Cano. Those are pretty good players.
They're decent.
Pretty solid players.
Not bad.
I'll tell you, I'm as someone who is a fantasy baseball owner of Jose Altuve, it'd be really cool if he would start hitting.
You can't be happy right now.
No.
First pick?
He was in a keeper league. It's like like an auction, so you have to you pay a certain dollar amount for him of your budget. But he's my most expensive player. He's meant to be my best player.
Right.
And so far, he's not been my best player.
He looks lost at the plate.
Well, he really also looks very short. I don't know where that came from.
He's always been short.
Really?
What? Hmm. Yeah, he doesn't look like he's locked in, for sure.
Other strugglers on the Astros so far, Alex Bregman, who most Astros fans would tell you is the best player in the whole wide entire world, and if you think any differently, you're a stupid idiot boy. That was what I got last year.
Really?
When I suggested they trade Alex Bregman for Chris Sale.
Yeah.
And then they said, no, no, no. And then Alex Bregman went 0 for like 1 million. And then he started hitting in the second.
Yeah,
and,
hit down the stretch.
He hit down the stretch. But again, he's likely somewhere in between there, right?
I think you may be you've always erred on the side of caution when it comes to
any prospects.
Well, anybody, really. In Houston.
Well, I mean, you prove it, right?
Yeah. But there's also the
childish hope of cheering for your favorite team.
There's relying on what you hear from scouts. There's relying on what you see him do overall. So he's a hitter. He's gonna hit. He should hit. He just hasn't yet. But that would be like saying, well, Altuve's not hitting. He's obviously those last 3 years that he's hit 200. He's gotten 200 hits. Has meant nothing. He's somewhere in between that and this Altuve.
No, Altuve is a great player because he's got a track record as a great player.
Yeah,
I don't need a scout to tell me that Jose Altuve is a good player.
No, but coming
up, you're just believing in what scouts say.
No, I'm watching him play the one game he played in the World Baseball Classic. I watched down the stretch his at bats. Did he struggle? Of course he did. 0 for 32 or 1 for 33 or whatever he went is a terrible start. It's a terrible start, but it happens, and it doesn't mean he's a bad hitter. Either the pressure got to him. You don't know what it was, right? You just don't know. But it doesn't mean he's going to be a bad player. Is he going to be, is he going to win a batting title? No, I don't think so. But I think he can be a very productive number two at some point in his career. Very productive.
Okay. I think that I am of the belief that when it's all said and done, Chris Sale will have more skins on the wall in his major league career than Alex Bregman.
I would go with that.
Which is why I said,
yes.
And also at the time, I knew Chris Sale was really good.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman, maybe he's really good. But do you remember 4 years ago when everyone was convinced that Jonathan Singleton was like the next big thing?
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
And all the scouts said Jonathan Singleton's a stud. He's a top 20 prospect. And then turns out Jonathan Singleton kind of sucks at baseball.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, I mean, that's why I don't believe in prospects, because more often than not, prospects are – it's like a coin flip.
Yeah.
At best, it's a coin flip. Are there special cases? Carlos Correa is a special case. And even if Carlos Correa struggles this year, I won't doubt what I know about Carlos Correa. But I don't think anybody knew anything about Alex Bregman. They knew what they saw at LSU.
Well, and it's like, if you believe like the prospect reports, if you believe the ratings on the top press,
Yan
Moncada, are you buying what people are selling about Yan Moncada? Are you saying that he's going to be?
I mean, maybe he'll be good. I don't know.
He's a top five prospect. He was included in the Chris Sale trade.
But I'm saying
he was their Bregman.
If you Google the 2005 Baseball Prospectus top 10 prospects,
now you're going to make me do it.
I bet there's a good chunk of them that are like, didn't quite work out that way.
No doubt.
Then that's my point.
But that's baseball too, though. I mean, that happens all the time. But there are, I mean, okay, here you go. Here's 2005, Joe Mauer. He turned out all right.
What's he doing now?
Hanley Ramirez, Prince Fielder, Matt Cain, Delman Young, Ricky Weeks. Not bad.
Dude, Ricky Weeks sucks.
No, Ricky Weeks for 3 or 4 years was...
Pull up Ricky Weeks' stats and you tell me his best year. He sucks. He was supposed to be great and
he sucked. I agree. Yes. But he had a couple of years where he did well.
Okay.
But yeah, probably not worthy of
top. You know who was on
prospects.
That list? Chris Burke.
Damn it, Jong. I was
leaving
him off.
Were you skipping that one?
I was leaving him off on purpose, Jong. Why?
Man.
Oh, God. They're going to make me pull up Ricky Weeks's.
But you're not going to be pleased.
Bro, he's tearing the cover off the ball.
Great news, guys. The Falcon has landed. He's back. He didn't limp in here. We'll get a full diagnostic report on Fred's latest bowel movement, on his rectal temperature, everything on the other side of this break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Boy, you know what I could use after a day like this? A really good beer. In fact, I could use one from Saloon Door. Unfortunately, I'm here and I can't drive to Webster right now. But if you are around Webster, that's your place to go. Terrific brewery. Great place to hang out. They've got two projector screens on the wall. They're always playing sports. You can watch your Astros games there, Rockets games there. They've got trivia night on Wednesdays, which is always fun. We're going to be out there again here in a couple of weeks. And so many great beer flavors. Whatever you're into, they've got it. And they're also constantly creating and testing new seasonal flavors. Great people down there, Jason and Austin and Jeff and Josh. They just know what they're doing. They put together a terrific place, and it is Webster's Brewery. Easy to find, 105 Magellan Circle, Suite A in Webster, less than half a mile behind Cinemark and Cheddar's off I-45 South. Go check them out, Saloon Door Brewing, saloondoorbrewing.com.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, or The Blitz is on. I'm not sure which. Come out 6:30 Tuesday to Reckling Park as the Rice Owls take on the Houston Cougars. It's the second game of the Silver Glove Series. Rice won the first game 9-0 and is looking to clinch the series victory on Tuesday. Tickets start at $15. The first 1,000 fans will receive Rice rally towels. Don't miss out on the action and go to ricehouse.com/BSB for tickets. All right. Sorry, guys. This has not been the best day. I've had an AJ type of day. I'm not going to lie.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
It means my day is completely sucked.
Okay.
That's what it means.
All right.
Because every now and then you have a day that's just awful, right?
Occasionally, yes.
And then you come in and you tell us about it and everything's fine. It's like a therapy session.
Is your day worse than the guy that got kicked off of United?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Not that bad.
By the way, have I not been bitching about United for 5 years?
Yeah. I kind of wanted to save that story for when you got here, but...
Well, you couldn't. You couldn't. It's
no.
All right. But thanks to Barry for filling in, and my apologies because this has been an all-day ordeal. Part of it's my own fault because I needed to get new tires on the car because I'm driving to Dallas tomorrow.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how hard it was going to be to find tires for that vehicle because I went to 4 different places. Finally, all I could get was the front tires. I still don't have rear ones.
Because they require stagger tires.
Yeah. And, you know, so that took me longer than expected. So I was 15 minutes late for my doctor's appointment this morning. And when I got there, they said, well, you missed your appointment. And I'm like, guys, be honest. When I get here, I sit here for 30 minutes in your damn waiting room. So I go, well, fine, let's reschedule. We can do it later in the weeks. Oh, no. The doctor wants to see you today. He says it's imperative that he sees you today. Well, that's not something you want to hear because that, you know, that implies something's wrong. And if something's wrong, I really don't want to know. So I said, come back at 2 o'clock. And I go, yeah, but that's going to be kind of cutting it tight. So I went and had lunch, chilled. Had a margarita, relaxed, figured, okay, if I'm going to get bad news, I'll be ready for it. So I get there at 2, and they want to do more tests, and it's just little stuff, like there's problems with my blood sugar and things like that. Just
okay.
old man crap. And they keep doing more and more tests. And then I go, hey, listen, you know I've got to get out of here, right? And it's just down the road. It's only about 10 minutes away, so it's not a big deal. But am I going to be out of here by 3:30? Oh, yeah, no problem. They come in at 3:28. We need to do another test. And by the way,
was it were the tests of like, did you ask him, hey, you might die if you don't get this test?
Well, I didn't ask that, but I was kind of getting to that point. And I have veins that are really hard to find. So, of course, they're having to poke around on both arms. And so I've got holes all in my arms. And The nurse is like, oh, no, honey, no problem. I'm good at this. No, you're not. She missed the whole thing like five times. And so finally, I'm like, okay, I need to get out of here. And I texted Jong and said, well, they said it's going to be 15 more minutes, and it was another hour. And right before I leave, they're like, we'd kind of like to admit you tonight and take some more tests in the hospital. I'm sure you would, but no, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm fine. I'll come back later in the week and do tests. We'll come back tomorrow. Well, I can't. I'm out of town tomorrow. So I have to go back first thing Wednesday morning.
Jeez.
So, and of course, they can't tell you what's wrong because they're doctors.
Right.
They can't tell me why it's such a big deal that I have to have all these tests. And it costs a whole bunch of money on top of that. And considering the gambling.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, considering the gambling weekend I had, which was awful, I got killed on the prep races. This was not fun.
I'm sorry, Fred.
So, yeah, it was one of those days. But it's over now. I'm here. And we can do the show.
Okay.
What did I miss?
So you're not dying, you're saying?
Well, I don't know if I'm dying or not. They can't tell me.
When do you get the results of these tests?
Well, that's the thing. I'm supposed to get them later this week. And yeah, I don't even know.
Are you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous, man. I feel great. I'm too fat, but I'm in pretty good shape. I'm not too worried. If my heart decides to stop, it's going to do it on its own. So.
All right.
Yeah. Who knows? You know how doctors are. They'll tell you it could be a head cold or it could be brain cancer. It's somewhere in between.
Okay.
It's one of those things. So I'm not worried about it. It's just a hassle. Took up half my day.
That's a lot of time.
I know. But here now, ready to rock and roll. Ready to talk. Well, you guys probably already talked about everything I wanted to talk about. So,
what all did you want to talk about? I'll tell you what we got to.
Okay, tell me what you got to first.
Okay, that's the opposite of what I said.
Right, but the United Airlines thing I wanted to do.
We got to United Airlines.
Okay.
We got to the Astros and how their great start was almost completely wiped out by the Royals, who just kind of owned their ass.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to get to that, but
and,
okay, that's fine.
I think that's pretty much all we talked about.
Well,
from
Twitter, I could tell people you were making fun of me quite a bit.
Oh, we did. We talked about we took the audio of the guy that got drug off the United plane, and we interviewed you from the doctor's office with it. So we called you and John, play it back. Like when I said, "Hey, Fred, what's going on with you at the doctor's office? How are you feeling?"
Just kill me.
And you were just begging for us to kill you because it was going so poorly at the doctor's office. Yes, and this was that was when the doctor told you weren't going to be allowed to drink for several weeks.
Well, yeah, this guy's like, what's funny is they're telling me, well, you're already under a lot of stress. I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't have any stress at all.
You do have a lot of work stuff.
Yeah, but that's fun and easy.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Yeah. What do I know? What do I know about your stress level?
I don't know. I don't feel stressed. I feel nice and relaxed and chilled and everything's cool. But, oh well. Hopefully I won't have to do this again. One more appointment and then I'm done with it.
Okay.
And they'll tell me, okay, you're fine. Just quit doing this, quit doing that. And I'll do that and it'll all be good. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the United guy, but that's all right. You guys have covered that. I wanted to talk about the Browns actually considering Leonard Fournette at number one, which I know your take on running backs, and I love this guy, but number one overall?
That's insane.
It's silly, right?
It's insane.
Especially when there's pretty good players there that can help your defense. And if you really want him, it's a good chance he's still sitting there at 12.
I kind of feel that way, too. And if he's not,
you can trade up. You've got all these extra picks.
Dude, yeah, I don't know. I just don't get the – I feel like that would be a really Brownsy thing to do. And I'm sure there's – you know what? You know who's really excited about that? The team's picking 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, they're just – okay.
Thanks.
You're going to leave Myles Garrett on the board. You're going to leave Jonathan Allen. I mean, that's a very odd – that would be a very odd choice.
It's very strange that And maybe it's Fournette's people leaking it to make him look better. Because that's the first thing I always think when I see a story like that, that so-and-so's seriously being considered for the number one pick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. And I like the guy a lot more than you do, and I think he's going to be a really good player, but number one overall?
I like him a lot, too, but I don't like him enough to use the first pick on him or a top 10 pick on him, for that matter.
409 says, Fred, maybe your doctor will have you get off the heroin like mine did. I'm not on heroin. I smoke a lot of weed. That's actually helpful.
But, I mean, okay, so I know you're higher on him than I am, but is there let's say for some reason you'd like to have Leonard Fournette on your team. You want a new shiny running back, and you pick with your first pick the best player available, whoever you think it is, whether it's Myles right. Garrett, Jonathan Allen, whoever it is. Pick 12 comes around, and at 11, whoever's picking 11 steals Leonard Fournette from you. Is the drop from Leonard Fournette to Dalvin Cook like so absurd that you would be willing to use that first pick running back?
But what I would be willing to do is trade up to 10, and I've got a lot of extra picks.
I guess.
That to me makes more sense, is take the best player at 1, and then if you really think somebody's going to nab him, trade up to 8 or 9. And pick him at the back end of the top 10, which is where the highest he should go, the highest any running back should go, in my opinion.
I'm trying to think of who would, what team would consider even taking a running back that high. I'm talking about at 12. I mean, maybe the Jaguars are that bad of an organization that they would take him.
They've been looking at him very hard. So
let him have him.
Yeah.
You know what would be worse? Is you taking Leonard Fournette number one and letting the Jaguars get Myles Garrett instead? That would be bad.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
I've seen mock drafts, by the way.
Yeah.
Where Jonathan Allen is now number 8.
See, that, I'm telling you that guys makes now, no sense to me.
I'm telling you guys now, and maybe you guys can make fun of me 5 years from now. I really believe he's the best player in this draft, and I don't know that it's really that close. And he doesn't play a sexy position, and I get it, but that's a guy who's going to make somebody's team significantly better immediately. It's like drafting two guys at once, I feel like. And
I'm with you on him. To me, he's a top 3 talent in this draft. He may not be the most talented, but there's not 3 guys in this draft more talented than him.
No way.
And it's certainly not 7. But we shall see. Hey, guys, you want a smooth shave? You want affordability? You want convenience? Harry's has you covered. And that's what I love about Harry's, man. I just have it all set up online. I don't have to think about it. The razors just show up whenever I start to run out. And everything I need just shows up. They've got me on a great plan. And it was all easy. And it's affordable. Because what they do, they built the factory so that they could sell directly to you over the internet. They don't. They didn't want to go to stores where the price gets way marked up. You're paying like $2 a blade for Harry's compared to $4, $5, $6 that you're going to pay if you go anywhere else. And you got to get them to open that damn door for you to get in because it's locked up. Harry's is so confident you will love their blades. They're giving you their set for free. All you have to do is cover shipping. Your free trial set includes the Truman Set ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post shave balm. That's an $18 value for you to try. But this offer is only available for our listeners, if you use promo code BLITZ at harrys.com when you check out, start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer, $18 value for free, just cover shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm, go to harrys.com right now and enter code BLITZ at checkout. That's harrys.com, code BLITZ. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty.